Hello, and welcome to the Superhero by Design Masterclass Series. My name is Ace, and I'm going to be the student today. I am joined by Joshua, the Ultimate Warrior Gillo. The Ultimate Warrior runs a coaching company for contractors that helps you sell your biggest projects on your worst day. For more information on Joshua and his company, Yes Express, check him out online at yes.express. Today, Joshua will be talking to you about sales mindset, tools, and techniques. So without further ado, Joshua, the Ultimate Warrior Gillo, welcome to the show. Welcome to the first master class classroom for Superhero by Design. How are you doing today?
Doing well, Ace. I always love your intros. Your intros are always awesome. So thank you for that.
Well, this one was completely ad-lib, but I feel like with enough of these under my belt and all the value that thankfully I've been able to add, and mostly because of people like you being on the show, I'm glad to have you back.
Thank you.
And yeah, without further ado, take it away.
Yeah. So, you know, here we found out let's start in the beginning. Probably easier way to do it, right? For about the last 25 years now, I've been designing and building outdoor living spaces for clients. And during that journey, I have found that I have worked way too hard for way too little money. I was spending nights and weekends away from my family, out trying to chase projects, only bringing a couple of home. You know, and what pained me the most was Ace was coming home on a Friday night after going out to look at two or three projects and not signing any of them. Because that same Friday night might have been a baseball game or a soccer game or something like that. And I decided to go out and chase clients. It didn't end up becoming clients. So that became a real, you know, thorn in my paw, if you will. And I had said, there has to be a better way to do this. I know that so many of the contractor friends I have, they have the same problem. How can we possibly come up with a solution to help preserve time, right? And what am I doing wrong when it comes to this whole sales thing? Why is it that I see some people killing it and other ones struggling like crazy? And it's not always about skill set, right? Some of the guys that are struggling are extremely talented men and women out there, but they just don't have the right lines that they're telling their clients. So they're just not schmoozy enough. You know, they just don't have that you know, charisma that's needed to sell stuff or whatever it might be. They don't have the proper training. There's always some answer, some excuse that was coming out of this. So what I decided to do was to hire a sales coach to start teaching me, you know, what I was missing. And when I did that, I really discovered that so much of what I was looking at was focusing on how can I get a sale? How can I focus on getting a transaction? How can I focus on getting this client to open their checkbook for me? And when he taught me that that's not the way to do it, that if we stop thinking that way, now, of course, as business owners, we're always trying to think of revenue and cash flow and all that stuff. And it's important. But from a client's perspective, one of the first lessons he taught me and one of the first lessons I teach our students is that you always have to come from the perspective of your prospect. You got to put your feet in their shoes. What are their pains? What are their troubles? What are they worried about? What objections might they have about your good or service? You know, like start thinking from their perspective and not just come in like I used to do and say, hey, I've got this thing. Do you want to buy it? But get in there and say, okay, how, thinking this a whole different psychology. That's why we mix mindset into our program as well, because we have to start thinking about how can we add so much value to this relationship with the client that they would feel crazy not working with us. And this is all before a dollar spent by the client. How can they get just so much value that they're like, holy moly, like, why would I go with anybody else, right? So therefore, you become a market of one because no one else is doing it, especially in contracting. They're trying to do as much as they can. Most of them are owner-operators out there. I used to be the same thing. They're owner-operators. They're out there trying to do the work and then sell at night or on the weekends and then do the work during the day. And it's just a big endless cycle. So they don't have the time to focus on value-first propositions. They don't have the time to do all this stuff because they're strapped, right? So as far as if you're a contractor out there and you want to get a leg up in your market, especially if economic changes are coming as they look like they will be, recessions and things like that, the best way to do that is just to become so valuable that your clients would be crazy to go with anybody else. Now, I know that sounds super simplistic, and I've said it that way for that reason, because it is not difficult to add massive value up front. And you do that through shooting some video, through writing blogs, through doing industry research to help your ideal client say yes more often. We do, in our company, we do a lot of going out on site, doing some site photography and video. We do explanations. We try to help people stay away from what happened. You know, what are the bigger pitfalls that, in our case, homeowners run into when they engage someone with like what we do, right? A contractor that's building an outdoor living space for them. So what are some of the pitfalls they have? You know, what happens if you don't do a design first and you just trust the contractor to do the work and then the client's not happy? Like, so how do we go through and add so much value that when that client says yes, they're thinking like, hey, we're good. This is like the best decision we can make. And therefore, you don't have to worry about cost as much. It's always a consideration for a client. Cost is a consideration, but it doesn't always have to be the reason why they say yes or no. But when you add a lot of value first before the dollar is ever spent, you automatically level yourself up. So that's a huge first step and a change in psychology.
Awesome. Awesome. No, I really appreciate you saying different ways of adding value too. I think a lot of people in this industry, when they're teaching classes, things like that, they say a lot of fluff that sounds good, but don't give people very simple, concise, actionable items to follow.
It's really, you got to go through and think about your client. Think about your whoever you serve. What are their pain points? Ace, that's the main thing. What are their pain points? What keeps them up at night? What itches them raw? Think about it. What does that? And for us, there's three things that clients are thinking about. And we know this over years of research and, you know, listening to our clients is that, you know, they care about three things when they're going to build an outdoor living space. Or if even they're building a home, it'd be very similar. So what's it going to look like? What's it going to cost me? And who's going to build it? Those are three burning questions that they don't even know they have. They know they just don't feel right just making a quick decision. But if you know that ahead of time, which now you do, and you can look through the way you communicate your narration with your client on your website, your social media platforms, whatever it might be, and you can answer those questions as direct as possible for them, think about the objections you're already obliterating before they ever have to spend a penny for you with you. And you can say, look, we do design, we do three-dimensional design, we help you visualize the entire space. And you can walk through the entire space both day and night. We put furniture out there, people out there. We want to make sure you absolutely love every detail of this design before that first shovel ever hits the soil. Imagine the worry you can take out of the transaction versus, hey, I'll build it for you. Hopefully you like it. And then $50,000 later, they hate it. And that's a huge problem. You know, or what's it going to cost me? That's another big thing. Most things we do are custom. So we don't have a, you know, we're not busting widgets out here. So you have to look through and say, okay, well, this typically costs this much. Let's have a conversation around budget. And that's something that most contractors are very squeamish around. They don't want to have that conversation because it could be confrontational, you know, in a way that someone could yell at them or reject them. It's a big fear. So they just don't deal with it. They just hand them a piece of paper with a number on it. They hope like, heck, that solves the problem. And that's what I used to do because I was scared to death of that exact conversation. So once you say, look, if budget is something that bothers me, and that sounds like me, if this resonates with you, because it did for me for years, if that bothers you, then why don't you become a master at that? Why don't you just focus your time on becoming absolutely dangerous when it comes to budget? And what I mean by that is what if you came up with a group of, you know, questions you could ask a client that you can guarantee within three steps you will have budget on every single project in the office before you ever go out to site? Because Mrs. Jones is calling you. She doesn't want to waste your time, and you certainly don't want to waste her time. So if you don't get that expectation leveled out before you go out there, if her budget is $5,000 and you know you can't touch that project and she's talking to you about on the phone for less than 50, why are you wasting her time and your time? That's a bit, so you need to be able to do that. So I'm going to give you here a little nugget, listeners out there, that'll help you with that conversation. So if Mrs. Jones gives you a budget of $5,000 for whatever project you're talking about, you simply ask her, what do you hope that will cover? Silence. Say nothing. She will answer you. Silence will be deafening for her, and she will answer you. And then she'll answer you in one of two ways, either everything, right? And then you can go on one more step, one step deeper, and say, Mrs. Jones, thank you for that. Can you tell me a little bit more about what everything means to you? Now, assuming there's multiple parts to this project, if she says, look, I just want a paper patio and that's it, then that's kind of asked and answered already. But if there's multiple parts of the project, she wants to do a patio, a walkway, seating wall, fire pit, and she wants her lawn redone. Like, just say that's the case, right? Whatever, fill in the blank. And you ask her that question, you let her dictate to you what she expects, because you're going to be very surprised by her response. And if she says everything, don't leave it at that. Ask her a little bit deeper, because that doesn't help you. Now, if you ask her that and say, you know, what do you hope that will cover? And she says, I really don't know. You can simply say, I totally understand, but I want to make sure we're pointing the boat in the right direction. So if you don't mind me asking again, what do you hope that will cover? Right? You ask permission again. She will give you stuff. And then you don't have to go in blind like I did for most of the early part of my career. Now having that information before you ever go out to site allows you to guide her better, because that's ultimately what we are, guys. We're guides. We're not the hero of the situation. We are the guide. We're guiding Mrs. Jones. Maybe we are the best solution for her. Maybe we aren't. We need to be honest, because we're wasting both people's times.
I love that. So far you've been talking about the pre-date, so to speak, getting ready for that initial walkthrough, that initial conversation, and potentially even that initial proposal or ask. What are some of the things you recommend, how you present yourself and how you do the actual sale of the product or service?
That's a great question, Ace. So this plays across all of these, you know, whether you're on the phone, you're in person. One of the biggest things that you can do that will increase your sales immediately. This is going to sound stupid simple, but most don't do it. Listen, Mrs. Jones doesn't give a crap about your story. What she cares about is her problem. So listen intentfully. Take good notes. Listen to her exact words she uses. It is important. As Mrs. Jones is saying certain words that are describing her problem, if you try to correct her, you now have put up a wall between the two of you. What I mean by that, if Mrs. Jones says, look, I'm looking to have, and I'll just stay in my world for right now, but if Mrs. Jones says, look, I'm looking to have a raised terrace off the back of my house so I can look out across my beautiful property and watch the sunsets. If she says, I want a beautiful terrace, please do not correct her and say, oh, I got it, Mrs. Jones, you want a new deck. Technically, that is what she wants. But she thought of all the words, the tens of thousands of words that she knows, and she picked terrace, a raised terrace. Use her words. All right, Mrs. Jones, I got it. You want a raised terrace that you can watch the sunset. Did I get that right? Absolutely. Cool. If you don't understand what that meant or what you want more depth, you simply ask her, all right, Mrs. Jones, could you tell us a little bit more about what's in your mind's eye with this terrace? Tell me what it looks like. Let her paint the picture. Give her her brushes. So often in contracting, especially when it comes to sales, we want to fill in the blanks because we don't have time to listen, right? You're going to get there and be like, oh, I know what you need, Mrs. Jones. You just got to need a deck up top there and a staircase coming down and you'll be good to go. Because we think we're supposed to be the hero and save the day. Mrs. Jones doesn't want that. She wants someone to listen to her intentfully. And she wants someone who's actually going to take what she said and move with it. Again, give her the paintbrushes. It makes your job a lot easier. If you're trying to assume things, you will make an ass out of yourself. But if you don't, and you're just a little bit more patient and realize that your main objective here is to be a detective, this is a case that you're working on and you're trying to figure out the best solution for Mrs. Jones, and you come in with that detective hat on, you're like, so Mrs. Jones, you ask her lots of how and what questions, not yes or no response questions. And like, do you want a deck? Yes. How much do you actually get from that? Versus, hey, you said you wanted to do something in the backyard. What is your vision for the space? It's going to elicit a much deeper answer from her. And she's going to give you a beautiful picture. She's going to paint it for you. And all you have to do is take good notes and then repeat it back to her so she knows you listened. Then you write a proposal and you've already almost doubled your chance of getting that project. All because you listened. So it doesn't get any simpler than that. There's no major silver bullets. It's just exactly like your mother told you. Will you listen to me? Right? So it's just listen, especially to women. They want to be understood. So that's a very, very powerful piece when you're dealing with anybody, but especially women.
One question I do have, they talk a lot about in sales, and I'm sure you're familiar with this acronym, ABC, always be closing. In your experience and how you teach your students, question one, Do you present the price then and there, or do you get back to her? Does it depend on the situation? And two, are there any tips and tricks and things like that to better your chances of closing a deal?
I look at closing the deal as a byproduct of a job well done, in the sense of making sure that that client is well taken care of, right? So the always be closing makes my skin curl. Now, I understand the basis of it, right? You're a business. You got to have revenue. It's cash flow. I get all of that and appreciate all of that. But if you go out there looking at Mrs. Jones, it's just a big old checkbook with a pulse, and that's all you see for her, your chance of selling, she's going to feel that. She's going to feel the fact that you are just after her money and not really there to solve a problem for her. We are in a very sophisticated buying market right now, especially with recessionary times looming. There's less work for more people. And that's the problem. So you're going to have to stand out and make sure that you actually care, because the other guys that don't are going to stand out even worse in a negative way. So when it comes to working with Mrs. Jones, the goal here is to listen first, like I mentioned before, right? When it comes to the actual pricing of everything, if you've done your work on the front side well, the backside should go pretty smooth, because all you're doing is setting expectations, Ace. That's it. It's all about expectations. If Mrs. Jones is expecting it to cost $5,000 because you've had that conversation and your bid comes in at $5,000, why wouldn't she move forward, right? It's in, obviously there's reasons, possibly timing, whatever it might be. But my point is, expectations are aligned. There shouldn't be a whole lot of objection. If you're dealing with her expecting $5,000, because that's what you talked about, and your bid comes in at $10,000, that's an objection right there. You're going to stop in her tracks and bust trust right there. Boom. She's going to be like, I don't trust this guy. He said five, but now it's 10. You can have all the excuses in the world. Trust me, I've done it too many times, that exact situation where I underestimated what it would cost. And when the actual proposal was handed off, it was much higher. And I could actually hear burning rubber taking off. It was just like, nope, sorry, bye. Right? Because trust is broken. It's not even the numbers as much as they're taking your word for it, and then you're not delivering on that word. So it's all about expectations. If you think in the beginning that you're going to be off, then shoot high. Tell her 10,000 and commit at 8. It's a higher probability she'll say yes to that, because your expectations are more in line. So be very, very careful of that, because that'll get you, that'll put you in a really rough position.
Now that makes sense. It's not even a matter of strategy at that point. When you start treating the person like a person, they feel that connection, they feel that authenticity, they know that you know your numbers, you know your products, and that you guys are on the same level.
There's also another one to the always be closing side, that and the reason why that makes my skin curl, it's because I have a very different philosophy, and that's what I teach, a very different philosophy. We mentioned it earlier about this whole concept of transactional selling. It's all about just high volume transactions, go, 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 and it takes the soul out of the sell. I like to focus more on transformational selling. And what I mean by that is that the client's lives will transform with their choice to go with us, right? That puts you on a different level, different plane. So if you look at every client as a checkbook with a pulse, then you're going to just get people who are going to try to screw you constantly, because for them, it's all about lowest bidder, right? And if that's you, you won't be in business very long anyway. So if you want to create a business, create true wealth, create an environment where you can impact and empower human lives, and you can, you know, build this business and empower a legacy with your family running the business, whatever it might be for you. But if you want something more long-term, focus on transformations of your clients' lives with your product or service. And also at the same time, think about your team and how they get to benefit in that transformation as well. It takes the stinkiness out of selling. If think about it, Ace, if you are out there and you know your product or service is going to change lives and you're not selling it well, think about the opposite of that. Because the client didn't get your product or service, they may not live a great life, or they may not live as long because you didn't know how to talk to them, because you're only focused on volume. If you focus on the transformation, the change, if your product or service enhances the length of someone's life, you have to get it to them, because it is not just about a transaction anymore. Now it's a transformation of their life and their well-being. So if you look at it that way, if you're scared about sales and you think it's something that's really just nasty and dirty, or you have a big fear of rejection, which a lot of us do, that was one of my saboteurs. It was one of my things that held me back. One of my fears is when you start thinking about it, like, what if they don't get this product or service, right? If you're selling a widget that they could give a crap about, then maybe you'll have to struggle with this piece. But if you're selling something that you're passionate about, and you know it's going to impact their lives and make it better, then the sale is just part of your relationship with them. It's just a part to say, here's an expectation. I can deliver on this expectation. Here's the terms. Let's roll. Right. But getting deeper into what they truly need based on adding value first. It's all about adding value in a transformational side. When that becomes your mantra, you're going to impact people in a lot better way. Your sales are going to go up. You're going to be able to work with less people, make more money, spend more time with your family. That's really the secret to all of it.
I love that. It's like being in sales without being a salesman.
Yeah. So many students come in and they're like, I'm not a salesperson. I said, neither am I. It's so good because I hate salespeople. And what I mean by salespeople is, you know, we've all gone to the used car dealership and the guy comes out and says, that car would be beautiful for you. He never asked you a question. He doesn't care about what you want. He just knows that car has to be off the lot by the end of the day and he's going to offer it to everybody. Nobody wants that kind of a relationship with someone who's going to be intimate with them when it comes to the amount of money they're going to move between each other. You know what I mean? So what they want is someone to listen. Well, what kind of car would you want? Are you thinking a minivan? Are you thinking a sports car? Okay, what's your favorite color? Well, that sounds good. Do you need all-wheel drive or two-wheel work? Do you need four-seater, two-seater, stick, automatic? How fast do you want to go? How much maintenance? So these are the kind of things that I'm looking for when I'm going to work with a client because he or she in this scenario is thinking, how do I make sure this is the perfect fit for this client versus how can I sell a car to somebody who just doesn't care? I don't know. I don't prefer that ABC concept because it focuses on a transactional mindset. And that is something that you will struggle with. And at this point, when you're focusing only on transformations, then the next thing you know, everything opens up. And then you actually build solid relationships that refer the heck out of you to everybody else. And then you don't have to spend as much on marketing because all their friends are coming to you because you took the time and cared. It's really that simple.
That's incredible. So it's a completely different way of looking at sales. You're transforming the person rather than having a transaction with the person. My assumption is too, if you believe in your product and you're passionate about it and you're thinking, how would this person live their future without my product? Chances are you're going to have high energy and be pretty enthusiastic because I know they talk about being very high level energy, not like crazy jumping off the walls, but know your product, be confident. You know, it's not even what you're saying, it's how you're saying it. It's your nonverbal communication. They talk a lot about that. But the thing that I love about what you're talking about and your whole mindset around sales, things like high energy are going to come naturally when you're excited about what you're selling.
Yes.
And so I love that because so many questions that I have here that I want to ask you don't even apply anymore because a lot of this is taken care of as long as you approach the situation, whatever you want to call it, with a mindset of how do I transform this person's life? I'm going to ask questions and then I'm going to shut the hell up and listen to what they have to say.
And if you can do how and what questions, that really opens doors. You know, we have a process that we go through. It's called Life Effect that is transformational in the sales world, right? Because what it does is it gets into the emotional driver behind the sale. A lot of, you know, if you're selling toilet paper, that's, you just got to buy that stuff, right? But the point is that most of the, in contracting, especially in any service that is a nice to have, there has to be something bigger. There's a bigger emotional reason why they're buying. For us, it's outdoor living, it's pools, decks, patios, everything in the backyard, right? Maybe it's a sports car, whatever it might be that they're buying. Those are emotional buys. They don't need that. They can look out of their windows or they can walk out in the grass. They can drive around in a used Volkswagen, Beetle if they want to. They don't need a sports car. The point is that they want those things. They elicit a certain emotional response. They feel like, wow, I finally made it when I can buy that Lambo. I finally made it when I did this. I finally made it when I did that, right? There's such an emotional driver to that. So we need to get deeper into that, even with outdoor living, contracting, whatever, selling services. It's why are they here? What does success look like? You know, for us, when we go through is we actually paint a future. We paint a future picture. We say, guys, look, imagine it's a year from now. And your outdoor living space is fully completed. It's a beautiful summer morning. You wake up, you open that patio door, and you walk out into this newly finished space. What does this space have to look and feel like for you both to know, because both decision makers are always on these calls, both to know that this project was an absolute success?
And then shut up.
Yep, just don't say a word. And then next thing you know, they will talk. And as they talk, to go through, well, I really wanted to make sure the space was super comfortable, and I want to make sure that it's cozy, and I can sit out there with a glass of wine and watch those sunsets on that deck. Perfect. Okay. She started painting. She did a framework. We want to start putting some color in that picture. All right, Mrs. Jones, you mentioned comfortable and cozy. What does comfortable and cozy mean for you on your deck? And then Mrs. Jones, well, I was thinking it'd be nice to have a lounge chair and maybe an area for, like, I can set my wine and, you know, then I can look out. I do read a lot. So I'd rather that chair be over by the big tree because there's going to be more shade that way. And I can sit out in the afternoon with the sun starting to go down and I can read my book or have a cocktail out there or whatever it might be. Dude, she is painting the picture of the solution for you just by leading here with good questions. It is that simple. And that, what do you think, Ace? What do you think the likelihood is of your solution matching her need when she's painting the picture for you versus, all right, you just need a deck. Sounds good. I'll put you a 10 by 20 in the back of your house and you figure out how to use it. And then she's trying to put that chair just all the way to the side because the tree's just too far away. She doesn't get any shade from it. And now she's sitting out there thinking, why did I spend all this money? Now she's mad at you. You're getting no referrals. Dude, you know as well as I do that referrals are the best thing you can possibly have. They cost you nothing and they spend more and there's less objections. So why not build a machine that creates referrals? That's what it is, but you got to listen. That's the number one thing. That's why we started there. You got to listen. You've got to ask good questions. How, what questions bring it open? Prepave the future. Get a sense of what that looks like. Let go deeper. If they give you some descriptive words and you don't understand them, ask them another level. We call it a step up. So you step them up. What's the next one? What's comfort mean to you? What does cozy mean to you outside? And the next thing you know, they're painting the picture for you. I mean, my students are designing these projects basically as they're going. They're just writing words down. They know exactly what they're going to put in their design. There's going to be a chair sitting there right next to the tree with a glass of wine on it. We do 3D modeling, right? There's going to be a woman sitting there reading a book, sunset. The sun's going to be dropping in the sky. Imagine when she sees that design and she looks at it and she says, oh my goodness, right there I am. The dog is even there, the right color. Think about it. It's that simple. You're painting with her brushes. She's already given you the paint. She already tells you exactly what she's going to do. She's painting the picture for you. You just need to transfer that into an image. But it's listening intensely.
It's incredible. Incredible. Thank you for sharing that. We are running low on time. Thank you once again, Joshua. Just a quick recap. Value add propositions. Talking about price to set up the right expectations. Listening, active listening. The importance of being a guide and a detective. It's about transformation, not transaction, sales. Painting the future for your clients and asking how or what questions.
Yep, making sure they're painting the future for you. Give them the brushes, that's the key. Don't assume, because an assumption always makes an ass out of you and me. So when we assume, we try to fill in those gaps quick because we're in a hurry or we think we know. We think we're being helpful, right? As salespeople, if they say, yeah, I'm looking for, let's just say that deck again. Looking for deck. Oh yeah, I got it. We'll do like a 10 by 20 out here. That would work great. It would fit the back of the house nice. It would go with the architecture, put the staircase off this side. And she's just thinking like, no, it's not what I wanted. I actually wanted the curve in the front. I wanted it more left, you know, jog more left on the house because I want to keep the right open for that future pool. You know, and you immediately put a wall up when you're in your mouth. So the best thing to do is ask questions and listen.
Sounds like being patient is also a really good thing to have with your clients, especially during that process.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Well, Joshua Gillow, the ultimate warrior, it was a pleasure having you on. What's a good way for the listeners to learn more about you and seek out your services if they're interested in your coaching?
Absolutely. So your best bet is to go to the website. It's yes.express, not .com. So it's yes.express. You'll see everything there. If that gets you excited, then book a call with me. I'd love to talk about your situation as it stands right now and see if we can help you. You know, and we can help contractors around the country create sales systems within their business so they can sell on the worst day because they work way too hard for way too little money. Imagine if you could double your revenue in half the time and only go out to see clients who are actually going to buy your services, not ones that are just kicking tires and looking for the cheapest of three bits. Imagine if you could know that before you ever left the office. Then you could also deliver a solution to that same client with such intensity and intentfulness that they can't help but tell their friends about it. That's the target.
Incredible. Well, thank you once again, Ultimate Warrior, for coming on. Thank you for everybody who's been listening. This is the Superhero by Design Masterclass Series. You can go to www.superherobydesign.com, not .express, to find this masterclass plus a whole bunch of other masterclasses. And we do have links to everybody's services and products, so you can get to that as well. And yeah, thank you once again, Joshua, for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure. For those of you listening, remember, with great power, there must also come great responsibility. And like that, he's gone. Peace out.